Have mouths, and maybe some of those mouths are even smiling back at me, but it is such a blessing to be here and to serve as your new pastor. What a time. But regardless, this is a difficult time for us to come back. This is far from normal. Our worship looks much different than you or I are used to. No congregational responses, no singing, no getting up and hugging your neighbor. And because of the times, the church has been forced to adapt and change the way we do things. We gather together knowing that people are joining us online, thank you for joining us, as equal participants in our worship this morning. And we hope that the Holy Spirit, best described these days as the holy Wi-Fi, will give us a clear connection to those worshiping in the safety of their homes. So we may be back, but this is all new, and it can change at any moment. On March 11th, COVID-19 was given global pandemic status by the World Health Organization. Shortly after that, the health professionals offered guidelines on how communities could safely get back together. And all of us have had to find a new way to do things. Everything from getting our groceries, to getting takeout food instead of dining in, or figuring out how people can come over to have dinner with us. And as you can tell, eating has been a big shift for Jessica and I in the past couple months. But it's not only eating, it's interacting with one another. Many of us still struggle with being separated as a means to protect those around us. We are left with difficult questions. Should we celebrate Grandpa's birthday, like we have for years with pie and euchre? Or do we need to do that at a safer distance? How do we visit those in nursing homes that are on lockdown but desperately need to know that they are loved and that people care for them? Is it safe for our newborn child to meet aunts and uncles and grandparents with the virus going around? Question Jessica and I have had to ask a lot and depends on variables of that day. This is a hard season. Once in 100 years crisis. And unfortunately, it is not over. And so we continue to discern what is safe for ourselves and those around us, even in the church, which is why our church council had conversation after conversation, studied how other churches were doing this safely, set and communicated guidelines, and is prepared, if we need to go back to being not in person, prepared to make that difficult decision that doesn't always feel gentle sometimes, but it is safe. But we remain Easter people. From separation comes repair. From suffering comes joy. From death, new life. So we know that God is in our midst, even now, even in the changing of the world that we live in, even in the church. In our scripture passages this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Gentiles living in Rome. The Gentiles are struggling to find a new and authentic form of worship that fits their new faith in the Jesus movement. In Rome, they are surrounded by Jewish synagogues. Even some of those synagogues are following Jesus, but their ways of worshiping and their traditions, the Gentiles aren't used to. And so Paul is aware that they are at odds with the Jewish community, and he is helping them try to find a new way to worship. And we say a quick prayer for the sirens. So he's giving them a new definition of worship. And this is what he says. Paul defines worship in this way: be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God. So in Paul's definition, to worship is to experience God, to be present with God. It's also to be transformed and to learn what God is still speaking. And then he reiterates what was said in verse 1. When you connect with God in such a way, it actually pleases God. God has joy. Can we think of that? God has joy that we have sought God out. So let's think about that. Paul's teaching, God is pleased whenever we seek to connect with God. Paul does not determine a specific time or place or way to worship. But in the simple act of turning toward God, pursuing God, acknowledging God, our efforts are pleasing and good. For Paul, this connection is not body or spirit. He goes on to say, present your bodies, this in-person feeling. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is also, and the NSRV says, presenting your body is also your spiritual worship. In essence, their bodies matter. And it should. God created them. And they're good. But at the same time, to offer one's body to God is to fully participate in this spiritual worship as well. It is not only a matter of body and spirit, or in person versus online, or what have you, but authentic worship is whenever we give our whole being to God, given in relationship with God. So wherever we are, as long as we bring ourselves, our entire selves, God finds it pleasing and good. Think of it this way. Two people can be physically together in the same room, but one person could do a little bit more talking, or maybe all the talking, while the other person completely tunes them out altogether. And I'm not seeing any nudges of the arm, so I think we're good there. And it doesn't take long for the one who's talking to realize that the other person has checked out completely. And I have been guilty of that at times, just checking out. Worship is more than just physically being present, but it is a total giving of not only being in person, but also being there, tuned spiritually with God. Often read in moments of tremendous change is Ecclesiastes 3. We all know it. For everything there's a season and a time for every matter under the sun, a time to be born, a time to die, to plant, to pluck up, yada yada. But if we go to verse 5, it speaks to our moment today. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Christianity is a communal religion. Worship is not done alone, but is done with others. We fellowship with one another. We get to know each other. We love potlucks, especially in this church, from what I was told. You love potlucks. And you love sharing your family recipes with one another. We support one another. We pray for each other's joys and concerns. We weep when others are weeping, and we celebrate when others are celebrating. We are community. And as Paul describes, we're a part of a body, united in Christ. But again, for everything there's a season, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Our mission and our purpose to be the hands and feet of Christ remains, as Jack was saying earlier. But in this season, we will have to find new ways to adapt. Our worship continues. We can offer ourselves fully to God, worshiping here in the sanctuary, or even online, or maybe in the parking lot. But in this season, it will look different. And we will adapt, knowing that whenever we make our efforts to connect with God fully, it is both good and pleasing. 14th century English mystic Julian of Norwich knew of the world that we live in today. She lived back through the Black Plague, which is considered the deadliest pandemic in human history. Historians believe that 75 to 200 million people died across Asia and Europe during that pandemic. And the Black Death killed a third of the people living in her hometown. And at the age of 30, Julian got sick, and she neared death. While she was sick, she received a series of mystical visions. And in one of those visions, she is with the Christ. And she tells him this following sentence: "If there was no sin, we would all have been made clean like our Lord as he made us." And then this is what Christ says back to her. He doesn't really address what she's talking about with sin and everything, but Jesus offers these words of comfort to her. He says, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." Julian later writes about this: "And in these words, I saw a marvelous high mystery hid in God, a mystery God shall openly made known to us in heaven one day." Even as the pandemic swirled around her and her community, even when her church was closed because it was not safe for everyone, Julian presents herself fully to God, her body even that is fighting off this virus, and she tunes her spirit with God. And God met her right there and brought her comfort. Friends, may you pursue God in all that you do. May you honestly and authentically present your bodies to God. With stomachs of knots of anxiety, with the pit of loneliness, with tense shoulders and tense jaws. Or perhaps with uplifting joy or rested eyes, which I'm not quite sure what it feels like anymore. Or with a wide smile, God calls us to offer our bodies, even now. And in this, as Paul says, is our spiritual worship. So may you take time to experience God in your midst, in prayer that takes multiple, endless forms, in a conversation with God, in cooking a meal, doing a craft, being in nature, our prayer garden, for instance, in fighting for justice and equality. May you find nourishment in these days where God continues to pour out God's Spirit upon the flesh, where sons and daughters continue to prophesy, young men and women are still seeing visions, and old men and women continue to dream dreams. And may you, as Julian, be comforted by the words of Christ: "All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." Amen.